Hello and welcome to episode 259 of Fly Away. We are a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents George, Lindsay, Donna, and Elizabeth. Recently, Disney announced the name of the first of their three new ships, the Disney Wish, which will be debuting in January of 2022, and we are so excited. But that is still more than 2 years away. So tonight we thought we would talk about one of the four ships currently in the Disney fleet, the Disney Dream. Several of us had the opportunity to sail on the Dream recently. For some of us, it was our first time on the ship, and for others, it was a homecoming. But we all found great ways to enjoy our time on board and wanted to share the highlights with you. So let's get started.
Such a great cruise. Oh,
so much fun.
Really glad I got to.
It was jelly. 5 years since I've been on it before. Yeah.
The Dream is my favorite.
Yeah.
So was I the early, was I the first one on? I think I was the first one on.
I mean, I don't think you were the very first person.
Well, no, not the very, but I mean, like, of our group of people,
of our
group, boarding group two.
Yeah. So what,
oh, wow. Yeah.
So what time did you get there?
I don't, like, God, I don't remember. Like,
it should have been like 10.
10.
Or, yeah.
Something like that.
9:30. So 10:45-ish.
Yeah. And it was so smooth. I mean, we were right through the line and the castaway line and right through, and then next thing you know, we were boarding the ship. But I really wanted to do that early because my friend who went with me, Shannon, it was her very first Disney cruise experience, and I wanted her to have as much time on the ship as possible. So that's why we went early.
Yeah, you know, the boarding process is interesting because you would think as many repeat customers as Disney has, and they do have a ton, there's a Castaway Club line, which is basically anyone who has sailed before, even once, can go through that line. And it's always much shorter than the other line.
Yep.
And it shocks me. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Because it's not like they're just pushing people through slower on the other side. But I guess just percentage-wise, even though they have a high repeat, it's not like there's still a high percentage of new cruisers each time.
I think it's a combination of that. Like, I think it's they do attract more new first-time sailors than other cruise lines. But they also... people don't pay attention, or if they have someone in their party that's a first time sailor, they get in the wrong line, or they're, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's also part of it too, because they were pulling a lot of people out of that line and putting them over in the correct castaway line. Have you sailed before? Yes, we have. Okay, you should be over here. You know, kind of, I think it's maybe a little misinformation too.
Yeah, because I look for that line. I'm like, where's my shorter line?
Like at the airport, when you end up, and this has happened to me, unfortunately, I did the mobile line at one time at the airport, and they merged us with the international passport line, whereas had I printed out my filled out a paper ticket, I could have gone in the U.S. passport line, and it would have been done in 5 minutes, whereas I was in 45 minutes because I couldn't get out.
Yeah.
So pay attention to the instructions.
Kind of the opposite. We spent the night in Port Canaveral the night before and had a rental car, and we took it back to the Hertz place, and we were gonna just shuttle over, but we, you know, found a breakfast place, had like a morning at leisure. I would say we ended up around noon. We actually didn't take the shuttle because a lot of people were waiting for the shuttle, and that was kind of a cluster, so we Ubered to the port.
Okay.
But it was still easy. I mean, and then so, I don't really mind going later like that because your room's not ready yet.
I'm the same way. We actually got on board right around 1 o'clock. When we showed up, we got through the castaway line and got on board. We had our picture taken. There was no line for the pictures. And we got on board and we ate. And by the time we finished eating, our room was ready. Yeah, done.
So does Disney, like some of the other cruise lines, break down the boarding into blocks of time where, you know, they kind of like you to show up, but if you show up, they're going to let you on either way?
I think they're a little more strict with their time. I don't think people were allowed to jump up ahead of time.
If you show up early for your boarding time, like Lindsay said, her boarding number was 2, she was on time. had she been there at the time she was and would have been in like the 1130 group, they would have given her like boarding number 15. You know, they give her a higher, yeah. So even if you show up early, you may not still get on until about the time you were supposed to, because they...
And people are serious about it. There was another girl from a different travel agency that was going on with us, and she was like a little upset because she didn't get a higher up boarding group. And I'm like, doesn't matter. You're still in like the top six. You're going to be on before, you know, they move really fast too. They're not, you know, it's not like people are lollygagging getting on there. They get through one. They got through one. Like, I thought we were going to have one was gone, and then all of a sudden it was two. So I think one's concierge.
Really good about, one of their big goals is to exceed expectations. And one of the ways you exceed expectations is to lower expectations. And yep. So they give you this number and makes you think it's going to be a while, and then it's faster and you're much happier. So that now still, if you're there and Lindsay gets a 2 and you get a 14, you will be waiting a little while, yeah. But you probably will still get on before you were supposed to get on.
But I don't know. I liked it. I got to walk around the ship and show Shannon. We kind of walked around and gave her like the little two penny tour. And then showed her the Delta area and had coffee, and then went and had lunch in the buffet area. And then it was time to go to our room.
To the adult bar.
What? What?
And one of the great things about Disney that I love is, and Royal has this option as well, at least on most of their ships, I think, there's a sit-down option for lunch. So for those of us who don't like to elbow through the buffet, especially when you have your luggage and everything with you, on this ship, Animator's Palette was open. I know it varies. Like sometimes I've been on it, it's an Enchanted Garden or whatever, but Animator's Palette was open and you can go, and we got right in. They sit you at a table, you have room for your luggage under the table, and they bring you food. So
yeah, they tried to get us to go down there first, and they couldn't believe we wanted to go to the buffet. But again, I was like, rite of passage, it's your first Disney cruise.
Yeah.
I don't know if I went to the buffet at all. No, I think I did the breakfast.
That's the only day I ever usually do the buffet, is the first day.
Yeah. And I sometimes will go for breakfast, depending on the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So how was the food?
Food's really good.
Yeah.
Well, food's good.
Yeah.
Free ice cream the whole time.
Yeah.
their chicken nuggets. Like Shannon and I were trying to figure out what it is about their chicken strips and the chicken nuggets. They do something in the seasoning, and they're like the best chicken nuggets and chicken strips that we've ever had. And you could get them at room service, or you could get them at the little Tomaters counter, or they're on the buffet, but like they're the best. And I mean, it's to the point of where we're on the last day, and she's like, I got to have those nuggets one more time.
I wish you told me that, because I don't think I ever had them. Now yeah, I'm sad.
They're so good. It used to be for me, I was obsessed with the hot dogs, but I will say that I got the hot dog from room service this time, and it was okay, but it wasn't quite as good as I remember it being before. So I don't know if they changed brands or something, but.
They had vegetarian hot dogs. Did you get a vegetarian hot dog?
Maybe they did. Maybe they gave me a vegetarian one, and that's why I didn't like it.
I just remember thinking, oh, Ellie would like that.
They have quite a wide variety of food selection for the room service. And the fact that, you know, that you can still get the room service with just an extra tip and not having to pay a fee for it, I think that makes a world of difference. I think for me anyway, because there are those times where it's just nice to have something in your room. Or
yeah, we ordered the cheese tray and mm-hmm. opened up one of the bottles of wine.
All hands on deck. I'm so mad at myself. I keep forgetting that you can request them to bring Mickey bars to your room.
Yeah.
And I keep forgetting that.
And you can order Mickey bars for dessert every night. It's not on the menu, but you can order it any given night.
So I have I have a recurring awful feeling about, ever since I broke my tooth eating Ellen's Easter Bunny, I'm scared to eat a Mickey bar.
I can fork it. I mean, we would laugh at you.
Chew it on the side.
Laugh at you. I think that one of the most exemplary things about Disney dining, I mean, the food is excellent, but the way that they do the dining rotation is so cool. And if you're not familiar with Disney, they have three main restaurants on all of their ships, and you rotate through those restaurants. So you're assigned a restaurant each night, and then you go to that restaurant, and your table number is the same. So if you were table 55, then you're table 55 in each one of the restaurants, and the experience is different. So I mean, it isn't necessarily pure entertainment, although the Art of Animation has an entertainment element to it, but the restaurant is themed. The menu tends to be themed, at least the first night it is. So if you're in the French restaurant, you have French food. If you're in the, if you're on Tiana's, which is on a different ship, but you know, then it's, you know, more Cajun and, you know, sort of New Orleans food. So, so that idea that you're, and your servers move with you. So if you're at table 55 and your server is Jonathan, then Jonathan will also be your server in the other restaurant. So you get to know your servers, but you get a different dining experience every night. And if you're on a longer cruise, then you'll be in those restaurants. So we were on a 4-night cruise. So we had restaurant 1, restaurant 2, and then restaurant 3 as our rotation. So there was one restaurant you ate in twice. If you're on a 7-night, then it's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and then you repeat one. So, so it's really, I think that's really unusual. No other cruise line does that.
We skipped dinner one night too, because we wanted to see the Beauty and the Beast show.
Yeah.
And we missed it early show. And so we decided to just eat, like, I mean, we had eaten
late. Did you get a buffet or?
We ate at that Tomator's place on the pool deck, kind of like 4 o'clock-ish. And that might've been the day we got the cheese tray. Like, we never felt like we didn't get enough to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't
think that's true of any cruise ship.
Yeah.
Much less Disney. You don't run out of food.
If you're hungry on a cruise ship, you're doing something wrong.
Exactly.
Very wrong.
I actually find myself doing food management. It's like, could I eat this right now? Because I want to be able to eat dinner. Yeah. We'll have time.
Well, that's what, when you ran into us at Tomator's that day, I think that was the same day we were eating at Remy. And I was like, I can't eat all these chicken strips. I'm going to go eat Remy tonight.
I was like, you don't want to eat all that, Lindsay.
You ate my chicken strips.
That's me. Yeah.
And I did, like, that day, I literally ate very, very little. Like, I had little nibbles here and there because I was ready for Remy. I wanted that full. I did not want to tap out before the end of that meal.
So talk about Remy a little bit, because I didn't.
Oh, God, that was so good.
Really was.
You guys had elevated Remy too, right?
Yeah, we had chef's table.
Yeah. So normally in Remy, there's two menus. There's an American and a French, and you choose one. They're fixed price, well, fixed menus. So you can't like cross over between the two. You say, I want this. So usually when Chris and I go, he'll get one and I'll get the other. And then we sort of try off each other's plates.
So when I've been in the past, I've always gotten French, but they are so in tune to you and the service is so good that there was something I didn't like. I think it was foie gras or whatever. I didn't say anything. And they immediately brought me their favorite dish from the other menu. And just didn't say anything, just without missing a beat, swapped it out. So, and I think I had that time that happened at the chef's table too. Like, I didn't like the quail. I didn't care for whatever the quail thing was that we had. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what it was called?
It was quail.
It was quail, but it was something quail and something else, and I didn't really particularly care for it, and I didn't even say anything, and he brought me out like this the most amazing gnocchi I've ever had in my life.
Oh,
on this little thing. It was so cool. There, it's such a different level of a dining experience than so you normally would get on a cruise ship.
Well, we were put at the chef's table, which was in a separate room, a separate dining room. And I never knew how to get that room. So I've seen the room before, but I didn't know how to get it. And I thought, it was interesting too, because originally they told us only 12 people. And we asked, and I asked and don't remember asking, but that's a long story. but we asked at 14 and they said, sure. And they just expanded the table. So apparently it's not totally fixed, because the last time I was on the ship, there were 8 people in there. So you really can, they'll adjust the table. And I feel like that table for 14 was pretty workable. Yeah. You could sort of see everybody. You couldn't, like, I couldn't talk to Lindsay, who was sitting like all the way at the other side. But I mean, I could talk to her, but it wouldn't have been a decent, I mean, we
yeah.
But we could see each other. You had line of sight of everybody.
But it was such a really cool show. Even how they presented the food, and how many waiters did we have? Like 8 waiters or something that came out and brought the food at the same time and kind of set it down. So they were setting it down in front of everybody at the same exact time. It was such a cool, experience.
And they do that. That's a very typical fine dining thing. And when it's just 2 of you, you know, Chris and I've done this, it's not so impressive, because there's just
no. Yeah. I think that's the first fine dining experience I've had with that many people.
And they come out in a parade. I mean, they've got the plates with the covers on them, and they come out like in a parade, like walking together in sync. It was amazing.
It's like, be our guest. Like,
yes.
in Beauty and the Beast to be our guest. It was so neat. And the food was really, really good. I did the wine pairing. Did you do the wine pairing?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Every time I've done Remy, I've done the wine pairing, and I've never been disappointed in it. I am disappointed in my ability to find that wine and or afford it later on when I fall in love with it. But I've never been disappointed with the wine.
Well, and they really pull out all the stops. So there's a couple of menu items that where we had an option to upgrade. So there was a beef option with Wagyu beef, and you could get the, and I always forget what it's called. It's like Michikoshi or something. The Japanese.
Yeah, the Japanese one.
Yeah, that's like the cows are massaged and, you know, they don't ever do.
Kobe beef.
No, not Kobe. It's the higher one. It's the.
Oh, okay.
Like Mitsukoshi or something like that. I have to look it up. I'm sorry. But you had the option to upgrade. And I think, I feel like it was a $50 upgrade to do it. And you got a little bit of the Wagyu beef and then a little bit of this other beef and a few other, you know, dressings with it or whatever. It seemed like a, well, if you know, the beef is very expensive. So it seemed a very reasonable price for the upgrade.
And you guys got an additional glass of wine with that.
There was an additional glass of wine. Skywalker wine, which is $30 downstairs, because I looked at Chris at dinner one night. I was like, if I got a $30 glass of wine, would you forgive me? He was like, if you want to get it, get it. And I was like, I just can't do that. And then he gets this upgraded beef and he gets this wine. He's like, oh, look, honey, it's the Skywalker. I was like, ah. So, I mean, he got a glass of $30 wine suddenly. Yeah. Our upgrade, you know, it's like cut in half. So, and I got to try it.
did he give you the whole glass?
No, he didn't give me the whole glass. He drank it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So my friend Shannon got it, and so I had to get to try the beef, which was really nice of her to do that. But I was already doing the wine pairing, and I knew I was like already at $300 for the meal. So I was like, oh, let's just not do that.
Yeah. And I was sort of the same way, because Chris didn't do the wine pairing. I did. So that was, you know, he was like, well, I didn't do the wine pairing, so I'm getting the beef.
So basically, like, you can keep adding on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was $150 for the wine pairing. You could have done a champagne thing, too. I think I paid about $300 for this meal. It was totally worth every penny, but make no mistake. I mean, it is definitely. And the very first time I did Remy, it was not that expensive. It was like
$70. $5, I know. I remember.
Yeah, it was so cheap way back when.
The base price was $125 for the meal. And that actually, I don't know, is that still the price at Victoria and Albert's? That's what it's been for the last few years.
I think it is. I think it's still the same.
So, but definitely, I mean, it is a high, like there, I don't know of another restaurant on a ship that has this high level of dining. It just is.
Yeah, it's definitely a special occasion.
Yeah, definitely high level. And it's 18 and up. And it's jacket required, no tie required, but jacket required. And they will provide you a jacket if you forget one. So that, you know, that it's that Disney service. They're like, we'll turn you away, but you will wear one of our jackets. And actually, I think Danny had the wrong shoes.
Yeah.
Gave him a pair of shoes to wear.
Really?
So, and they escorted you to the bathroom. Like the guy took my arm and walked me. Escorted me to the bathroom and then back, and then everybody's like, we're gonna go to the bathroom so we can
get to the bathroom and avoid it
so we can get a hot guy to take us.
Yeah, they catch you, man. They'll find you.
Shoe thing. What was wrong with his shoes?
He had loafers and he had lace shoes.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, I saw the cabinet where, I mean, it looked like the cabinet when it's closed.
Danny's a tall guy.
I know. Exactly. I'm like, I can't imagine, because, you know, my son also, he wears like a size 13. We can't find shoes from anywhere. We were in France. We were trying to get him new shoes. And they were like, you wear what size? No, we don't have that. No. So, but yeah, they just traded out his shoes. And then at the end of the evening, he got his shoes back, and like bowling, you know?
Yeah. So. I think with Disney, when it comes to the higher end things, they have like these magic touches. Because when I did the Africa trek, I didn't have shoes, and they literally sent someone to the store and gave me brand new shoes and socks. But I was staying club level. Mm-hmm. These little magical things happen when you're doing higher end Disney stuff, and they'll open doors for you, I guess, that. Like cabinet doors filled with shoes of all kinds of sizes.
Nice. It's in the bar up there. That's like really classy, like the martini cigar bar up there. It's like, there's this whole cabinet of shoes. I had no idea.
You would never have guessed that there was full of shoes.
No idea. So speaking of magical touches, let's talk about the entertainment.
So day one, we did the piano bar. That was fun.
Oh, I didn't go in there.
You did. It was the bar. guy.
Oh, that. Okay. Yeah. Bar. It's a champagne bar. Yeah. I was like, I missed that.
But he was playing Broadway ditties, which was so funny because it was like this competition between Elizabeth and Lindsay to like get that song right away. You know, figure out
what later in the cruise, Chris and I were sitting in there by ourselves, and he's like, okay, I'm going to try and stump you. And he's like, so it was just me and him, and he would play a song, and I'd have to identify. It was totally fun. He was great. Yeah, he was great. Yeah.
He promised us a free cruise. It never happened.
I don't think his promise was
that. Did everybody see the Beauty and the Beast show?
I did.
Yes.
That was amazing.
That was amazing. That was probably the best show I've ever seen on a cruise line.
That's only on the Dream, right?
Yes. The Dream. Yes. I have clients who have literally skipped dinner in order to see it twice. I know you skipped dinner, but that was because you missed it the first time.
Right.
But I have clients who literally will skip dinner to watch it both times.
I could see that because we were up in the upper balcony, and I would have seen it again lower because I think it would have been different. Because we could see the transitions on the stage and stuff. We could see things on the floor, and I think the other perspective would have been really good too.
Although I liked seeing the traps. I mean, we talked about this.
Yeah, I liked it too.
I liked seeing them. And I mean, there were a couple of times I was like, that trap is open. Don't step in it. But they really had it's just such a beautiful, beautifully staged show. And of course, the story is the story you're expecting. But everything, even if you've seen Beauty and the Beast, the musical, first of all, it's much shorter, thank goodness. But it also, the transition when the Beast changes into the Prince. In the Broadway show, they tried to recreate the sort of spinning from the animation, and it ends up not looking very realistic. This one went really well. And I mean, you're in a much smaller theater the transition just was beautifully done. So
yeah,
really good special effects.
It was so well done. And it was such a surprise too. I mean, it was, you expect Disney's going to be good. Their shows are always good, but I was so pleasantly surprised that it was even more than I'd expected for. And I probably should have skipped dinner to see it twice.
Skipping dinner thing, you people are crazy. But I think it's extraordinary. And the voices were some of the best voices I've heard.
Yeah.
Every now and then you get, most of the singers are very, very talented, but every now and then you get somebody that's like, community theater, probably. But these were like the vocals were just amazing. Spot on. So but that, I didn't see, did you see Believe or the Golden Mickeys?
No, so we went and saw the Golden Mickeys, but we didn't see Believe. I've never really cared for Believe. It's okay.
I think it's been showing since like the Magic.
Yeah. I think I've seen it so many times I don't care to see it again.
Yeah. That's how I feel about the Golden Mickeys.
Yeah.
I'm kind of done with that one. I don't like the pre-show for it.
But I wanted Shannon to get to experience that because I think that's like the classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of like the classic. But I've always felt Believe was, we're going to probably get our first hate fan mail now if I say this, but I've always felt Believe was like a little too cheesy for me. It was like just a little.
It still tugs at my heart, but I didn't need to see it again. You know, it's just done it. So, and I think that's, Disney does keep some things in rotation, but they change things out. And it's always, always, always go see the show that isn't on all the ships, because that's the one
that's going to blow you. That's going to be the best one to see. Yep. So what about, did your kids go to the Kids Club this time?
That's all they did. So this, this is my first time with teenagers on Disney. So we've gone as adults without kids. And then as our kids have grown up, so we've had little babies and we've had, elementary. So this is the first time I've had solid teens. And they're 15 and 13. And technically Vibe is 14 to 17. But Marcus is 13 and a half. And we could say it was all right so that Marcus and Finley could be in the same kids club. And so Vibe is it's the teen club. There's a tween club, which is where Marcus would have been if we hadn't signed him up, called Edge. And I actually, the last time we cruised, they did not like the kids clubs at all. Even on Disney, they didn't like them. And they'd gone from being the kids who were always in the kids club to we hate the kids club and they were always with us, which is fine. But we really wanted them to enjoy the cruise. And so I told them, my rule is the first night you have to go to the kids club for that first opening session. Because that's when all the kids sort of gang up.
They make friends.
And then they may never go back to the club again. They may like just wander around the ship or whatever. So I said, you have to go to the first night and then decide if you want to keep going back. They came back that first night at 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was Chris told them they had to come back, and they had so much fun. They were like, that was great. They have all these, they have Xbox and like all these video games, and they met some kids, and this is like the third week of September. So we didn't expect there to be a lot of kids on board, but
there were.
Yeah, there were enough.
There were more kids on this Disney cruise than the other ones that I've been on. There were more kids on this sailing, and I think it was the Halloween.
Young kids, yes. Like not school age. So it's interesting that they're, I don't know, maybe all the teenagers were in the teen club because I don't remember. I didn't notice a lot of older kids.
I feel like there were only, I mean, they could tell me for sure, but I feel like there were only 15 or 20 of them that were like solidly in the kids. Yeah.
I definitely felt, and then Shannon noticed it too, like I felt a really big kid presence on this sailing compared to before. And I think it's because there were so many holiday things going on.
Yeah.
And there because Halloween on the high seas, and there's trick-or-treating.
And I guess I avoided a lot of that stuff because we didn't have the kids with us. We went to a lot of the adult-only areas. So I was in the adult-only, like the bar section. I was at the adult-only pool. I went to the spa. And so we just didn't, it was more like our honeymoon, actually, where we stayed in all the adult.
We weren't camping out in those areas. It was when we walked through them to get to the adult-only section that we kind of noticed it. But that's been the opposite of the normal experience I've had with Disney Cruise Line, is that you don't see the kids because they're in the kids' club.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, our kids would go, they would eat breakfast, and then they'd go to the kids' club, and then we would not see them again until dinner. And then they would go back to the kids' club, and they would come back at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever time the kids' club was. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Crazy. Wait, I mean, I was such an old lady on this cruise. I was having a hard time. That costume contest was at 11, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to make it.
But I'm glad you did.
Like, Julie and I stayed up late, too.
We were in bed by like 9 o'clock. Like, dinner was late. So we're like, God, it's 9:30. I'm so tired.
Yeah, but Lindsay needs to announce what happened at the contest.
Yes.
Oh, I won a Most Disney costume contest with my
trophy. Right?
Got like a real trophy. Yeah. Like, and it says Most Disney. It's totally. It's on my desk. I'm keeping it forever.
You aren't painting yourself green for, right?
Yeah. Totally. I was hoping for a free drink, but the trophy's nice.
I think Disney does the free drink.
That was a lot of fun.
One thing about the Halloween on the high seas, I wish, and so step back. They don't give you the navigator, the paper thing that tells you what's going on the next day. They don't give you that in your room at night anymore. And you can get it at the front desk, but you have to go and search it out.
Yeah, you have to search it out.
And so I would get that every day because I like having that. I wish they had a separate thing for just the Halloween stuff because I think it might have been when I did the survey, or I'm not sure what it was later that I was looking at, but there were things on the Halloween stuff that I missed that I didn't realize was going on. So I wish that was kind of separated out.
And I wish that we had access to the next day's activities the night before. Like when you got the paper navigator, you got it the night before and you could really plan out your next day. But with having that navigator on the app, maybe it was just me, but every time I went to look on there, it wouldn't tell you until the day of what the things were. And it was very hard. I think it was very hard to find things.
Well, died the last day of the cruise and I couldn't do anything, and
if you go through the app, you can I would mark a heart for everything, like click them as my favorites, and then you can click over to my activities or whatever, and then it only shows you those. And so I wasn't looking through all the shopping for diamonds and all that stuff.
But you couldn't pre-plan because they didn't release the stuff for the next day the night before, which I think they should, because
I think they did. I feel like I looked.
Did they? I every time I looked on there, I couldn't see what I wanted to see. I don't know if I was using it wrong.
Maybe it's after I went to sleep, Lindsay. When I were already asleep and Sandy's going.
No, I feel like the first day I went through and looked, like, I don't think I could look at like the dinner menu every day until that day. Yeah. But I think
Elizabeth is right. It must have been after midnight or something, and we were already sleeping.
Midnight, but yes. So the Halloween on High Seas is actually really cool because they offer things like trick-or-treating and special mm-hmm. storytelling and a costume contest, which Lindsay dominated.
I did wear my
hey-hey. Oh, that's costume. True. You did wear your hey-hey.
She costume. Did. I'm so, we should have gotten like a better picture of us together. We've got like a, we foamed it in on our little picture together. We should have went down by the tree and had it in front of the haunted tree.
Really? Why didn't we do that?
I don't know.
I was not going to wear that costume. Once I saw what people were wearing and how serious they were, I was like, ooh.
That lady, I can't even believe I won because that lady with the rhinestones on her glam stormtrooper mask that she put on individually, come on, that had to take in her months.
Yeah, well, she didn't paint herself green. I think that's Lindsay was Tafiti, by the way, which is the island in Moana, for those of you wondering how she won. So and it's a great costume. But yeah, it's a neat, and it runs from like mid-September they start them. I feel like we were maybe the second week of Halloween on the High Seas.
Yeah.
And then it goes through Halloween week, and then the next week is usually the transition week, because I know you cruised that week where it's not Halloween and not Christmas yet, or they're switching it over, and then they go.
They also do Halloween-themed movies on the Funnel Vision, which is the movie screen out by the pool.
And I will say that they are super generous with the candy. Like, as someone who's been to more Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween parties than they can count, and I've had some stingy candy nights where I'm leaving with like half a bag and I'm like, this is crazy. I could have left that cruise ship with like six bags of candy if I wanted to. They were just had bowls everywhere just trying to dump candy on people. And I'm just thinking, my suitcase is overweight already. I can't take this home.
Because they were like, we're too old to trick or treat. I'm like, did you see that adult over there?
Don't yeah, really.
Yeah. Disney is for the inner child.
But it was cool to see how many adults got into it too. Mm-hmm. And I did like the fact that the like adult section of the nightclubs and stuff was really all Halloweened out. Then. Mm-hmm. That was really
cool. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Like even the theme, the Halloween isn't just for kids. That's really cute.
Yep. And so if that costume wasn't enough, we also had a pirate night. So yeah, pirate costume. And I did see people wear their pirate costume for Halloween.
And then they cheated.
Not going all out, people.
I did not the pirate show. And I didn't do the fireworks.
I slept. I actually heard the fireworks, but I slept.
So is there a state, like, I always try to get starboard side because I want to see Castaway Key when I'm there. So is there a preferred side to actually see fireworks from your balcony?
Yes. Which one it is.
It's the, you're facing from the back. So, okay. So what is the left side of the ship when you're facing from the back adult bar lounge?
So you're looking to the front of the ship?
Looking toward the front of the ship.
Port.
So that's the side the fireworks shoot off of. And you want to be on that side in order to see the fireworks. Although I don't know how well you can see them from your room. Maybe if you're on the top floor on one of the balconies. But you really kind of have to have that upper kind of view because they're shooting them up so... And some of them malfunctioned this year. Like I did notice they were like, some of them fizzled out or just didn't go as far out as they probably should have. And I can't believe this is the first year I didn't know that they're filled with fish food.
Oh yeah, they're
total. I didn't know that. That's so cool.
Fireworks.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Disney's the only company that does fireworks at sea. Norwegian.
That's why.
While that they stopped. It was too expensive.
Yeah. But yeah, so I would say that side, the port side, the left side. But we watched it from the adult lounge. We didn't even, we saw the character, the Fab Five show, and then we skipped the show with the pirates that swing around. We missed that one, and we went up and sat in the lounge chairs because we were tired just trying to make it through the fireworks again. And that was the theme of this whole cruise was I'm old and can no longer stay up past 10.
That is enough.
Lindsay is now one of us.
I think it's taken this long. It's finally happened.
Once we hit 40, right? I mean,
I think it really was. I was just run down from so much travel. I mean, if you don't count the 4 days I was home, I was gone for over 40 days.
Yeah.
Your check engine light was on.
Yes, my check engine light was very much on.
Yes, very true. So let's talk about Castaway Key because we went right before. Barbie right after the hurricane came through.
Yeah.
So, and we were one of the first to get back on the island, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And the adults only beach took a big hit with erosion. The Serenity Bay is about half the size I remember it being.
And it was crowded over there. And they had taken all of the, like, they only had the short chairs, the long loungers.
Yeah, the long loungers and the umbrellas were gone because the beach was so narrow now. There really is not room over there for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. I hope they'll have some reconstruction, or what do they call that?
Dredging.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll.
I don't know. I mean, I guess. Yeah.
But I actually had the opportunity on this cruise, and I feel very lucky to try a cabana. I had a friend who had a cabana, and she invited me to go in on it. And we were told.
Thanks for inviting us.
It wasn't my cabana.
Yeah. It's okay, Sandy. We know how we rate.
It wasn't my cabana. It was full. They said that half the cabanas were underwater.
Wow.
When the hurricane came, it just sort of cleared out. And actually, when we were in Cabana 2, which is actually one that it was underwater, but it wasn't all the way underwater. But the ones further down the numbers were more underwater. And I was told that some of those weren't open, but I actually walked down and they were all open. They were all occupied.
So were you in the ones that were family friendly or the
family? Okay. Yeah. I don't know anything about the ones that were Serenity Bay. Did you guys see anything?
I think they were all closed, to be honest with you, because we kept trying to look kind of behind. There might've been some that were open, but normally you can see some type of traffic coming from back there and there was no sign of life.
Yeah.
Going in that area. So, I mean, again, I wasn't nosy. I didn't go wander down there. I was just, trying to enjoy what was left of the beach.
I was impressed with how much they had cleaned up the cabana area. And I've never been there before. This is my first time in there. So I didn't know what to expect. And they are some of the prettiest cabanas I've ever, I'm a cabana girl. I love cabanas. And they're very large. More loungers than most cabanas have, really, really nice space. Right next to the Pelican Point area. So if you're in the first six or so cabanas, you're literally steps away from bathrooms and the food. It's right there. So, that was a great location.
That playground area, the Pelican Point, water slides and stuff, did that get messed up?
I understood that it was closed, but I think, and don't quote me on this, but I think I saw people on it. So it was there. I mean,
I feel like I should have paid more attention to that.
Yeah.
I feel like I should have walked around and seen the rest of the island instead of just plunking myself down in Serenity Bay.
I did the 5K, so I ran the whole, I walked it. But yeah, so we went out and did that whole area, but I didn't really pay attention to the family beach area. So, but honestly, I think that you wouldn't notice that the island was messed up.
Yeah. I mean, I think Serenity Bay is the one that got hit the hardest. I think
that's it definitely did not. It was not the same feel. It was not the same. And the chairs were they didn't even have the chairs set up out there. They were just all set in stacks for you to just grab and kind of
really, by the time take, I got which, out there, they were spread out.
Which was completely not, we were out there. I think we were the first, when we got out there, there was only a couple people. But every other time I've been out there, there's not been very many people and it was a bigger beach. So it felt more like you had more space. Whereas this time, man, it just, with it being shorter, it felt way, by the time we were leaving to go get something to eat and then to come back, we actually came back early, which is unusual too, because every other time I got to be dragged out of there. It's come on, last call. Everybody's getting back on the boat. Get out of the water, crazy people. But this time we were just out of there because there's so many people. It felt a little overwhelming. I would like to see what happens when they can fix that area up. I know it's going to take time and money, but I really hope they do put some more attention into that side, because that was for adults only people. That's the highlight of,
and I don't think it'll be long. I mean, I think they'll get it done pretty quickly. In fact, it may already be done.
Winter is kind of I don't know, because that might be more adults cruise.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's days off at Castaway Key either. I mean, there's only four ships, so there must be days off. So
But well, right
except
now,
the dream goes twice. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Wonder comes back.
So yeah.
It might be a busier season. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, honestly, though, I think if you're there with your family, you're not gonna notice. Although the stingray thing was closed, which
actually a lot of the activities were closed. So that was so Marcus decided to do the excursion with Vibe. And it was a speedboat, bike, and snorkel excursion. And they had to cancel the speedboat. Basically, like, the parasails weren't running. And I think a lot of that was, I don't know how much of it was the condition of the water and the, or how much of it was the condition of where the people were living who run those things. I mean, all I know, some of that stuff was destroyed. But they, of course, they don't tell us that. So I have no idea. But nothing that was power related, no jet skis, nothing was running.
There was no, and there was no snorkeling too.
Well, no.
Was there snorkeled?
Yeah, they did snorkel. And we were able to snorkel at the cabana. But I don't know if there were places where you could.
It must have been a snorkeling excursion or something, because we were looking at the chalkboard that had a list of all the things that were canceled on the chalkboard as you're coming out. And snorkeling was one of them. So maybe it was a snorkeling tour.
Yeah,
I don't know. I felt like there was quite a bit that was shut down, and that's to be expected. I mean, I was really impressed that it was even open at all with how badly the area got hit.
Well, and so what Disney did was, since the speedboat was canceled, they still ran the excursion for the kids with the biking and the snorkeling, but they didn't charge us for it. So the excursion was waived. So they still did the excursion minus the speedboat, which is what, of course, the kids were looking the most forward to. Right. But Marcus said he had a great time. He told me he needed a new bike because,
you know, now he knows.
Yeah.
Now he knows how what a good bike feels like.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Lindsay, Elizabeth, George, Donna, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us this week. Bye-bye.